Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Welcome, Big Interview fans, to just a little bit of the Big Interview with Robbie Keane. For the whole glorious 1 hour and 20 minutes, you need to be a socio. Go to patreon.com/Graham Hunter. Patreon is spelt patreon.com to instantly unlock this interview and over 9 hours of archive content, including big interviews with Raphael van der Vaart and Ledley King. See you there.
There are a lot of people who aren't in football to win at all. No. Players and managers. And I've heard other people talking about it, but the evidence of your own eyes and your own experience tell you. I've heard Ferguson going, part of the reason for my success was I was consistently able to take big decisions, accept the risk, but move on quickly, right or wrong, not sit on it. And during my reign, other managers might have been up around me and then fell away, and start thinking about their security or something else other than a trophy.
Totally agree with you.
People do that all the time, and some of us who are the public, the paying public, don't understand that there are a lot of people out there in positions, whether it be chairman, manager, a coach, a scout, or the actual footballers themselves, going, if I can just keep at this level, I'll get another 2-3 years out of this, rather than being driven by excellence, putting yourself at risk, wanting to win, showing you want to win all the time, living like you want to win all the time. I think that in football is actually a smaller group than most people know.
I think it's probably got, it's definitely grown, I would say, in the last, you know, five to 10 years, on the basis of, you know, there's a lot of money in football. And I think we've seen that now. You see a lot of young players, you know, on a lot of money, big clubs where they've already think they've made it, and then you've got a lad from the non-league who's desperate, who's working in a factory, who's desperate to get where this young kid is, and this young kid thinks he's already there. So that's what we've seen in the last few years, the Vardys and people like that coming through, because they're desperate to play and they have the hunger, desire to want to make it as a football player. When you're 17 15 16 17, and you're getting 10-20 grand a week, I mean, That's the problem with these players. And I'm not the first person to say that. This has been going around now for the last couple of years. A lot of big players have been talking about this, that they're sitting and dwelling on, you know, driving nice cars, which is no problem. You drive a nice car, 100%. But if you're producing for your team and you're there because you want to, you're solely there to play for that first team, not you're just sitting on your 10, 20 grand a week. And that's a shame for me, because that's the difference between someone, as you said, that hunger, that mentality to want to and be desperate to be a footballer. I've seen so many young players now that they leave the club and go, oh, I should have done this, should have done that. And it's too late then. And it's just like, so I've spoke to so many young players, and I'm just thinking to myself, oh, when I speak to young players now about, I said, just don't, when you've got that, when you've got that by the, or the balls, keep it, hold on to it, don't let it go. But there's a lot of too many young players doing that. As I said, that's why we've seen this, you know, majority of a lot of players from the non-league coming through and being successful, because they have that hunger and desire.
It's driving you crazy even talking about it.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
Even naming it, you've done your Robert De Niro face there twice, which got me scared. But you weren't being paid 20 grand at Wolves. Or Coventry, were you? A week? 30 grand or 40 grand a week at Coventry?
£25.50 I was paid.
So, I wasn't fishing there. If you'd been paid 20 or 30 grand a week by Gordon Strachan, or at Wolves, would that have dulled, and you're driving around in a really nice car, would Gordon that have dulled your hunger?
Gordon Strachan said to me, he called me when I was at Wolves, he was best mate with Mark McGee, who was my manager at Wolves.
Still is, yeah, still is. For taking Scotland to a tournament that I genuinely hope the boys in green are at as well, honestly. You've had your turn. Yeah. Gordon and Mark are taking us to Russia. Okay, I had to come out at some stage.
Yeah. Hopefully both of us are there.
That's what I'm saying.
So I remember, so I was at Wolves, I think. Yeah, I was a forced contract, my second contract was like a grand or something like that, 1,500 a week or something like that. And I was playing, you know, 20, 30 games, you know, for Wolves, banging the goals in, you know. And for me, that was a lot of money. Obviously, from getting £37.50 a week, I think it was. So when I was going to Coventry, I got a call from Mark McGee in my old good mate Dougie Friedman's house, who I actually bought off him because he was moving to Crystal Palace. I was a young kid, and his wife kept. I just said, just leave everything in the house so I don't have to buy anything.
Smart move.
clever.
Now we see how you managed to move around the world. Did you say that to Ray Charles as well? We'll come back to that.
So I remember getting a phone call from Gordon Strachan's house. And the first thing he says, Robbie, how are you doing? Gordon Strachan here. Do you want to be a millionaire? As you know, Gordon, very, very witty.
He was the second guest on the big interview.
He's brilliant.
He's outstandingly quick and funny and
that was the
talented.
First thing he says to me, listen, the money I was getting there was good money, but it was nowhere near, as I said, these young players getting out. And I left for 6 million. So that's the difference. But forget about money.
Would it have dulled your hunger?
Well, it hasn't, because I've been very, very fortunate enough.
Even then, Robbie, I'm going back to that. I'm drawing a comparison with who you were talking about and you then. If somebody said...
Well, the equivalent then would be a lot of money now. So,
yeah.
And I was only 18 years of age, 19 years of age, so it was, for me, it was a lot of money, but for me, it was just, I was obsessed with playing football, obsessed with scoring goals, and didn't matter anything around me or what I had or what car I was driving, that was completely irrelevant to me. For me, was on a Saturday morning, win this game, and score goals. And that was been my mentality from the day I played against Norwich away and won 2-0 to this day as we're speaking now. I've never been driven by money, because if you're successful, that will always come.
I know that footballers often, when I ask questions like this, sort of push back, because either they haven't or they don't want to. But have you ever kind of looked in and said, where really has that come from?
Well, I think it's definitely come from where I come from, because I come from, you know, come from Tala, where it's, you know, it's great area, you know, tough area. You have to be mentally strong. A lot of shit happened there when I was younger that I've seen that maybe other kids, and don't get me wrong, there's around the world there's way more worse things that is happening. I can only go on what I've seen, you know, and, you know, rob cars on the street and drugs and stuff like that. But it was no, for me, growing up there, I didn't know anything different.
Mm.
So, and as I said, you had to look after yourself. There was fights on the street. You have to be strong. You couldn't back away from people. You couldn't show that weakness, mm-hmm. that sign of weakness where people would try and bully you. So that's, I think I definitely get it from there, and also for the love of playing football. I just absolutely love football. There's like, I can't stress this enough, and I've said this for 20 years. I'd play football for free, and you look back all my interviews, I've said this. Sunday morning, when I come home in the summer, first thing I do, all my friends play five-a-side. All of us from my area where I was brought up in Tala. My brother, cousins, best mates, and this kind of months that I've had off.
So Gordon Strachan was a guest, so was, you know, a really close friend of yours who I admire and adore. Damien Duff is one hell of a guy. But you'd understand one of the first things he surprised me a lot, because we tracked it from a Peter Beardsley thing. We said to Peter, if your house was burning down, what would you save? And he said, still to this day, my football. I'm not so worried about the, you know, like the TV and the computer, but the photos and the family came after the football. Yeah. And it was at this point that Damien said, listen, well, you know, I still miss a football so much that of a Tuesday morning I hire on his own an AstroTurf pitch just to get out there and kick the ball and play. Yeah. And I understood it. Martin understood it. I think the listeners understood. You'd understand exactly that. Like if you didn't have, you know, like say, you're living abroad, you're living in, on your own, you're not playing, you'd go and get a ball and kick it, would you? Mm. You'd go and buy a ball.
Oh, yeah, of course, yeah. Yeah, I mean, every time I go on holidays with the kids, the first thing we do is get a ball on the beach playing or whatever we can get a bit of grass. Used to go to Sardinia quite a lot and used to be, well, all the guests. There's a little five-a-side pitch in a hotel called Cala de Volpe. And used to play with the guests all the time. So it was...
We should have done this interview before. I love that. That's absolutely the way it should be.
And as you mentioned, Damien, you know, me and Damien, best of friends, and wonderful, wonderful player, one of the best, the best I've ever played with as a left winger, a right winger, wherever we at that moment he played. But we've played a few games, and obviously in the last few months since we've been home, and the buzz kind of the two of us still get, you know, it was incredible.
He's an extraordinary player, and I want to end this section a little bit by saying you've been asked a lot, and it's a brilliant exercise, say your best 11 or your favourite 11, or whatever it might be. Your answers are obviously, they tell a lot about you, and you've always got one of our recent guests, Ledley King, in your 11, and I understand why. But given that the people who don't share your mad desire to win and to play all the time were driving you crazy a minute ago, let me go the other way and calm you down by saying, give me five of the guys you've played with throughout your life or seen or played against who you know have got exactly that same drive and hunger above the rest to win. That thing that you were identifying that's kept you, like a 25-year-old, even at 37... Who'd be five or six of the guys that you're they're like me, they're my clan?
I could name loads, to be honest with you. I could name a lot of players. I mean, if I go from the teams that I've played with, the Gary McAllisters at Coventry, to the at Leeds, to the people like David Batty, you know, strong personalities and just want to win, but great characters, like off the field. Now I'm just off the top of my head, I'm just thinking to the Steven Gerrards of Liverpool, who would do anything for his club, as we've seen over the 20 years that he was playing for them. Do anything to win, and that mentality, the drive that he has to succeed as a player, as a person, and for his beloved club, to Tottenham, where I've played with so many different players and different characters. You know, just because people, you know, shout about and have that, doesn't, some people have the winner mentality in a different way. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, 100%. And the shouting and the noise isn't always the right thing, actually show what, you've got to show for the ball, that's braver than shouting.
Yeah, yeah, you've got people like, say Luka Modric, he always want the ball, no matter where. He wasn't the pitch. So for me, for someone like him, he has that mentality because he's not frightened. Mm-hmm. He's not frightened to pick the ball up anywhere in dangerous areas. And for me, that's a winner mentality also. Mm-hmm. And then you've got the people like Roy Keane, you know, who's got that drive and that mentality where all he wants to do is just win, which is brilliant. And get the ball, knows his limitations in terms of get the ball, win it, give it to someone quickly. Protect the back four, protect his team at all cost. And, you know, that's a different kind of mentality. And then I've probably named about 10, did I? I'm not too sure. So there's all different kind of characters that I've played with that has that driven mentality. And I couldn't, as I said, each of them are different. You couldn't name Roy Keane same as Luka Modric. Well, he had that driven. You've seen that now with Real Madrid. You know, he's gone from being getting stick before she was there to now being the best midfield player.
They adore him. And without him, almost everything suffers. It isn't just with the ball or the passing options. It's tempo. Yeah. It's about when to pay side to side or up and down.
It's the connection between...
He's fabulous to watch.
The connection between the backs and the strikers.
And there goes Robbie. Intelligent, articulate, slightly dangerous if you get onto the wrong subject, but definitely one of the most passionate football men I've ever met. We obviously hope you enjoyed that little slice of what was a much longer, much more in-depth conversation. To listen to the full 1 hour and 20 minutes, it is time to become a socio with us. Go to patreon.com/GrahamHunter. Patreon is spelt patreon.com, and you'll instantly unlock the rest of this interview, plus over 9 hours of archive content, including big interviews with Rafa van der Vaart and Ledley King. Our lovely socios enjoyed over 8 hours of ad-free bonus content in September alone. For the socios who join us, who become part of this loving football family, we do produce full weekly episodes of a magazine show, if you can call it that, The Big Inside View. It sometimes contains sweary words, often some interesting things that I can bring from the front line, and a bit of laughter. There'll be other special content like question and answer specials, live reporting from the occasional La Liga or Champions League match, deeper dives looking in depth at what I know about big breaking stories, and all of this for £2.99 a month. That's less than the price of a pint, less than the price of your favourite football magazine. No, you can't say fairer than that, can you? Join us.